Rava L'Rava Bar Mari. We now know that Rabbanan Chav Chakaya Chamra Uchva L'Gabech Mosh. Somebody calls you a donkey, so put on the saddle. So the Shita Mekubetzes adds that this is when he knows what he's talking about, meaning to say that sometimes your friend will see something in you that you might not be aware of. It's not like a random guy in the street who calls you a donkey. It's your roommate who calls you a donkey. Amar lei, dechsiv vayomar hagar shifchas sarai, emi ze basa v'anase lechi. Batomer mipnei sarai gevirti ani bayrachas. In other words, even though in her own eyes she was a free woman, she was a princess, she was running away back to Mitzrayim, and yet the Malach refers to her as Hagar Shefchas Sarai, so she accepts that appellation and refers to Sarai as Gvirti. Amrli Rava L'Rabba Bar Mari Minaha Milsa Dam Rab Anchi Milsa Gna'a De Isbech Kadim Amra. There's something bad about you, some chisaron, so you should say it yourself, get it out of the way before other people notice. You know, if you confess before you're caught, so it's less embarrassing, you'll be more easily forgiven. There are other advantages to this. Don't try to hide it, then it makes things much worse when it does eventually come out. Amar lei, in other words, when Eliezer came, right out of the bat, he says, I'm an Eved. So that made his mission much more effective, as opposed to like trying to pretend to be something else and then, you know, coming out later on, no, he's only an Eved. Amar lei Rava L'Rabba Bar Mari Minah Milsa Dam Rabba Inshi Shfil the Azil Bar Avza the Eine Mitayfei. In other words, this goose, it walks. On the one hand, it's low, but at the same time, you know, even though it's looking down, it's also, its eyes are up. And it's looking for food. To put it a little differently, even though you need anava, right, as it were, your head should be down, Shvil v'azil, but at the same time, you also need ambition. And this is an important point, which is sometimes we think of humility and ambition as contradicting each other. That's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mikol adam. He was surely very ambitious in his avodas Hashem and many other ways. And we see this from Avigail. That's the pasuk Amar lei dechsev. This is what Avigail said: Veitiv Hashem laduni v'zacharta samasecha. Over there, if you remember the story, she was trying to be mefayis David. David was going to kill him or kill her husband for the avla that he did. She had tremendous anava, her eneha lamata, in terms of using chachma and humility to prevent the situation from blowing out of hand and blood from being spilled. But she also looked towards the future, and it was because of that that she was eventually zocha to actually marry David. Arli Rava, Rava Bar Mari, Minam Mil Sadami Inshi, Shisin tachli matye lekacha dekal chavrei shama veloacha. Right, so 60 tachli machovim troubles. Now, to a person that like hears his friends eating, but he doesn't eat. So how do we see this? Amar lei dechsev. V'li ani, that's referring to Nasan, So this is David, Nasan talking to David HaMelech. He's saying, I, Nasan, Avdecha, and Tzadok HaKoyin, V'niyahu, Ben Yehoyada, V'avshal, U'l'shlomo, Avdecha, Loikara. This is during the rebellion of Adoniyahu, that they're making this big celebration. This is when they basically declared him the king. And of course, the allies of David weren't invited. And obviously, the Ikar Taina is that they're telling David, you know, look, there's an insurrection going on over here, and look at the people who were left out. But the fact that they formulated it in this way, namely, there was a Suda about which we weren't invited, is the basis for this limud. In other words, what caused Avram Avinu to decide to remarry? He saw Yitzchak Avinu get married, and through Yitzchak's marriage, he experienced a nechama for his mother. He started to feel better. And Avram Avinu understood as well that the same thing could happen to him if he remarried, and indeed, that's exactly what he did. Amar le Rava le Rabba bar Mari minam also damer Rabba inshi chamra le Mare tivusa le Shakyei. So you give chamra. So it's an interesting shaila. Who do you say thank you to? So there's an interesting machlokas over here between the Rashi and Tosfos. That Tyler pointed out a story. A certain Talmud Chacham came to Kambi Avne, and the yeshiva guys offered him a drink. So he asked them, who should I say thank you to? So according to Rashi, who should he say thank you to? No, the yeshiva. Who paid for the water? Who paid the bills? The cup, the water. Who? Yeshiva. Donkey.
Right.
Okay, fine, good. Either way, so
wait,
that's.
Is it a bit for Rashi?
No, neither. Well,
you should thank the guy who poured you. I thought that's the point for Rashi. Thank the guy who poured you.
Let's see, Rashi.
He's saying what you do, now that you should be doing.
One second. Let me see. Maybe I didn't read it right. Chamra lemare v'tivusa l'shake hayayin shal melechu v'ashosin oseo machzirin toiv elisar hamashkev ol melech. But that's wrong. In other words,
so
we're going to figure out the pasuk. We'll get there in a second. Good ha'ara. And maybe I you could read it differently than me. I have to think about your reading. The way I read it was a bit me. In other words, people make a mistake. They sort of say thank you to the immediate cause, when really the thank you should go back to the real source, right? So when who is the source of the drink? It's not really, again, we'll say it's the yeshiva. It's not the person who happens to hand you the cup of water.
Maybe
you have to go all the way back to that. But there is an Indian of Hakara Satov to a human. But the point is that sometimes we sort of have Hakara Satov to the most immediate one. But you're right, you also have to have Hakara Satov to Hashem. Whereas the way I was reading Tosfos, Kolomar, Hamashkin Osen Bain Yafet, no. The Pshat is that there is a degree of gratitude that you have to have to the shamish or to the waiter, whoever is doing it, because you can give it, they could give generously or not. Even if you're a waiter, anyway, you're going to be giving it. Do you give a big cup? Do you give a little cup? And that's going to depend on what we learn from the story of Moshe.
He's also talking about who you think.
Yeah. Just the question is, they're making the opposite point. So that's what this Talmud Chacham said. He said, according to Rashi, I should thank the yeshiva. According to Tosfos, I should thank you for giving me the drink. Let's read the Gemara. We'll go back to Tosfos in one moment. So, Amar le dechsev b'samachtas yadcha alav leman yishmeun kol adas bnei Yisrael dechsev Yeshua ben Nun malei ruach chachma ki samach Moshe's yadav alav yishmeu elav bnei Yisrael. So, according to Rashi's pshat, the aside is that really the source was Hashem, right? Moshe was just somech, and therefore it wasn't Moshe. The appreciation should go to Hashem. Whereas according to Tosfos, the pshat is no. It's correct to give Hakar Satov to Moshe because Moshe was somech by Anyafe. Hashem said, Yado, Moshe did by Yadav. Moshe did it with Ayin Yafeh. In other words, the gratitude goes to Moshe, right? Who do you think? Do you think the Baal Bayis or do you think the waiter?
Shouldn't he mention once being voted at Tosfos? He doesn't mention once.
How? Okay, so that's the way.
Like, in Akhar, it sounds like it's totally different.
That's the way I read.
It doesn't sound like he's actually arguing with me. It sounds like he's learning it totally differently. Right?
Yeah, it's a different. It's a machlokas.
It's not in Akhar. In Akhar sounds like it's a totally different shot in the Gemara. It's not different from Rashi, so it's just...
It is totally different.
For Rashi, just bits me, and for Tosfos, it's not bits me.
Yeah, it's a totally different shot. I mean, you say, what's the Eker Nakuda? Who do you think? The opposite conclusions. In Lech Inyan Acher, no?
The Inyan
Acher
means? The Inyan Acher means arguing on me?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
So how did you read it? Maybe...
I just thought he was giving that shot, that even a waiter should give...
So what does Rashi hold? What does Tosfos hold? What's the chiddush of the Gemara?
I thought Rashi was saying you should actively thank the waiter. That's warning you, and that's the Raya for Moshe Rabbeinu, because it didn't sound like the bad thing.
Let's read Rashi. What's the chiddush? Chamra lamari v'tivusa lashkia hayan shel melecho. Why are you thanking the waiter? The wine belongs to the king. Vashosin oso machzikin toiv l'sar. But the people who drink appreciate the sar. Hamashkev lola melech. In other words, they're incorrect, or they're at least short-sighted in their appreciation, in their hakar satov. Because instead of recognizing the source, they should recognize, they're recognizing the shaliach. They're thanking the shaliach. But they don't realize, really, the Yayin Ishal Melech. In other words, Nakuda the Gemara is that the Yayin Ishal Melech, but people still say thank you to the waiter. Let's read Rashi. Next Rashi. V'yismolchas Yadav. Chala Chachma. Sorry. Tala Chachma v'gdula b'moshe. Ki ilu hu nos na Yoshua. V'ena. Am b'yagadosh Baruch Hu. Right. Same problem. In other words,
all these things in the Gemara are talking about what happens in society. Not that we should study.
Right. In other words, people. I don't know. Bad. It's a ha'ara. People. It's observation. Right. That people are sort of making a mistake. They're missing the boat. People said, Yeshua is great. You know why? Moshe was his teacher. Moshe was somech alav. Right? Why is Yeshua so great? Because Moshe gave him smicha. Yeah, but where'd that come from? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the observation that the Gemara is trying to point out. And again, it's a horror that we do this, we make this mistake all the time. You know, a lot of people have, I think, insufficient hakar satov to YU. They have, like, they appreciate the rebellion, which is nice, but They forget, but they have no appreciation to the institution. They're Bema there because they're paid by the institution. That's not to say you shouldn't. But in other words, a lot of times when we have Hakaras HaTov, we have Hakaras HaTov to what we encounter immediately without an appreciation that that's part of the bigger system. And that's the Nakuda that the Gemara is trying to bring out. Whereas according to Tosfos, in a sense, it's making the opposite point. And I think they're both true. It's not the two Pirushim in the Torah and the Gemara that are both true, which is sometimes actually it's the opposite. Sometimes we don't appreciate what the waiter gave us. We go ahead and ki'ilo, we thank the chef for the meal. We have to have an appreciation. Actually, the waiter could have given us ayin yafet. We could have come away with much less.
Saying this is what people should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an observation.
Either way, it's an observation. Well, it's a. That's how you should act. Yeah.
That's similar to any other one.
Well, it is an observation. I think the observation is because the mashkas knows in ba'in yafa. In other words, you might think that you need no special appreciation to the waiter because the waiter is just the shaliach for the chef, right? What did the waiter do? The waiter just brought the food from the kitchen to my place. And the answer is not true because the waiter could give it in many different ways, or the shakye could give it in many ways, just like Moshe. Hashem told Moshe to give smicha to Yoshua. How that took place could happen on different levels. And how did Moshe do it? By Nyatha, right? Hashem said Yado, and Moshe did it Yadav. And therefore, we have to have that Akar. So I think it's an observation, it's an astute observation that with respect to Akar Satov, according to both Pshatim, and we have to learn from both. We have to learn from both. Yeah.
But wouldn't it at least be a Ha'ara on Rashi that the Torah was phrased in such a way? Meaning, if the Torah was phrased in...
You mean Yado and Yadav?
No. Not
which point?
No, the point that, according to Rashi, the Raya is that the Pasuk says, Ki Samach Moshe Sadav.
Mm-hmm.
So then...
In other words, it's coming from Hashem.
If
Moshe is just a conduit. That's the point.
Where...
But where did Yoshua get his
godless
from? Right, but through whom did he get it? Where is it coming from? What does Smicha do? Moshe was the conduit connecting Ki'ilu, Yoshua, to HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. But the Pasuk doesn't mention that. Meaning, why wouldn't that be...
Okay, Zahara, that's a mila to the pshat of Tosfos. But I don't think there's such ambiguity in Rashi, right? Rashi...
I'm just saying, like,
yes.
If that's really true, then why would the pasuk, quote unquote, be mekayim that like phenomenon? As to say, like, what people usually do, people have a tendency to praise the messenger, so to speak. So the pasuk is going to do that also. Like,
the pasuk is describing the behavior of the Jewish people and the attribution of the Jewish people towards Yahushua.
But Ki Samach Moshe Sadov Alav isn't the Jewish people. That's just like the Torah talking.
Yeah, but I think that the Nekuda that I suppose that's coming out is V'yishma'u Elav B'nei Yisrael. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Good. Amar lei Rava l'Rabba Bar Mari, menan also darmi inchi, kalva bekafnia glali mivla. Right, a kalav when it's hungry, it eats. So argirsa, well, we'll see in Rashi tupshatim. Let's see Rashi. Glali. Avanim Lashon Mori. Lishnachrina galala mamesh. Satup shatim. A dog when it's hungry eats stones, or a dog when it's hungry eats feces. Virishan yashar deglala mamesh orchehu. So what's the pshat here? So according to the first, the pshat that it's glalim. Oh, well, let's see, read the raya. Dachsev, nefesh sava tavus, no face, v'nefesh re'eva, kolmar matok. Right, so if you're full, so then you ingest the sweet things. But if you're hungry, so anything that's a bitter is now sweet. So the ikar chil, if you understand, if you have the girsa, if you interpret it like the second pshat, galalin, so the pshat is that when you're hungry, you eat something that doesn't taste good. Meaning to say, right, if you ever look, and this is what Rashi's being mayor, that you see dogs eating feces all the time, or monkeys, or other things. So why would an animal eat feces? Because the food isn't fully digested the first time around. Like if you look at horse dung, you'll notice that there's pieces of straw in it. Meaning to say the digestion isn't complete, so there's still nutrients to be gained. Now, you know, Rashi says we see it all the time, so you probably have never seen dogs eating their feces. That's because nowadays we feed our dogs dog food. I don't have a dog, but I think most people that have dogs, so they don't starve them, they don't make them work for their food, right? So the pshat is, if you have the second pshat in Rashi, that there is nutrients available. There are, you actually won't go hungry, an animal, when it eats feces, because when it eats it the second time around, there's more nutrients. But if there's other food available, it won't go for it. In other words, you only eat lousy food, even though lousy food will give you sustenance when there's nothing else available. And that's the chiddush of the Gemara. Whereas, if you learn like the first pshat, which Rashi says is the ikar, so it's a different nekuda. The nekuda is that if you eat stones, now there's no nutrients in stones, right? It's totally pointless to eat stones. Point is, if you can't find any food to eat, so you eat non-food. That's an act of desperation. You don't get anything out of it. You just do it because there's nothing better to, you know, you want to eat and you're hungry, so you eat rocks or whatever you happen to eat. Not because it's going to give you anything, but because there's nothing else to get. So it's depending on which pshat you hold in the Gemara or Rashi, there's a different observation, a different chiddush in the Gemara. One is a chiddush that when you're desperate, you eat lousy tasting food, maybe not as big of a chiddush. And the other pshat, Rashi's preferred explanation, the chiddush is that when you're desperate, you do nonsensical acts to trick yourself, like eating rocks. Fine. Amar le Rava Rabba Bar Mari Minal Nels Dami Inshi Metayel the Azil Dikla Bisha Gabe Kina Desharchi. So what does that mean? So look at Rashi, and then we'll see Tosfos. Kina desharchi, ilanos betelim, vein osin pri. Lazy trees. Kimo gavra desharcher, I don't know, betelim, non-productive. Kimo gavra desharcha, bata, kolomar, derech dekel ra, Ligadel bitzad ilan srak. In other words, the yisod is that a lousy fruit-bearing tree is going to be next to a non-fruit-bearing tree. And then we're going to see many sources for this. Well, look at Tosfos. Batlanim, v'chein b'sharcha b'sof yishneichlin, kemo ish yoidea tzayit, umetargaminan gavra nachshirchan. Umefarsh Rabbeinu Tam Noach Ubata. Very interesting, by the way. Right, the pasuk says Esav is Yodea Tzayed Ish Sadeh, as opposed to Yaakov is Ish Tam. So what is Yodea Tzayed? It means he's a hunter. So what do we what's the Targum say? Nachshirchan, which means what? Noach Ubatal, a lazy. So at first glance it's very surprising, right? Is a hunter a lazy? He goes out hunting, right? Where's the laziness there? So the pshat is like this. What's the alternative to hunting? To be a farmer, to be a shepherd. Meaning to say that for other professions, let's say the farmer, there's a big gap between the work and the reward. Right? You do a lot of work at the beginning of the season. You plow and you seed and you hoe and you water and the like. And then, you know, 6 months, 8 months later, you enjoy the fruits of your labor. The hunter has no patience for that. He's lazy. He waits until he gets hungry, and then he goes out and tries to get immediate pleasure, right, to snag an animal and eat it. And that was the Midah of Esav. The Midah of Esav, like the Ramban points out on that pasuk, of Vayivaz Esav Sebechayra, that Ramban says, Esav's attitude was eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die. Meaning to say, it was taka, a good deal for Esav to give up the Bechayra, which is something that's much later, for an immediate meal. Right? I'm hungry now, give me food. I'm going to miss out on something that's much more valuable. That's something that's much later. I once heard from Ravan Lapiansky, says, that's a pshat in the Gemara there in Bava Basra. The Gemara says that Esav did 5 averos on that day. He killed. He was Boel and Naira Milrasa. I don't remember one of them. He was Kofer B'Ikr, and he was Kofer B'Tchias HaMeisim. So, it's very strange. First of all, what's Pshat Naira Milrasa? Right? There was no Erison in those days, Kayadua, like the Rambam says. Also, it's strange. Kofer B'Tchias HaMeisim, Kofer B'Ikr. If you're Kofer B'Ikr, obviously you're Kofer B'Tchias HaMeisim. This guy doesn't believe in God, and he also doesn't put on tefillin. I'm saying, what? So the Nakuda is that he came to a Kfir B'Ikr through Kfir B'Tchias HaMeisim. So what's the Yisod? Like we said, the whole Ramban shows this in the Pshuto Shel Mikra. But this is what Chazal mean when they say the Nakuda Samach Lokas between Yaakov and Esav was Olam Hazav versus Olam Haba. Rashi points that out. That the Mahalach of Esav was, look, everything is the here and now. The immediate pleasure. So what's the Yisod of Erison? Erison is that you have a shame Eishas Ish now, even though you're Oda B'Vesaviyah. You're not going to be Mutaris for another year. In other words, it's a future orientation, which is the Nekuda that Esav couldn't be Toyface or rejected. Everything is here and now. The notion of an Eishas Ish is Shayach, but not of a Naira Mu'rasa, which is that you have a shame Eishas Ish, even though, likewise, Tchias HaMeisim. In other words, Olam Haba is all about that. Olam Haba, Tchias HaMeisim is the same thing. It's the opposite of Olam. It's the future orientation as opposed to the here and now orientation. And that's the Yisod of Esav being a Tzayed. Being a Tzayed meaning Noach Ubata. In other words, not even being able to wait, Kilu, for the Peros to grow. You have to be a hunter. Okay. Back to the Gemara. So we have a number of rayas to this. Amar Lei. Davar zakasa b'tayra, ashanu b'neviyim, mishulash b'ksuvim. V'tznan b'mas nisa, v'tanina b'braisa. Zakas b'tayra, d'chsev, ayelch esev al yishmael. Oh, this tells you about Esav and Yishmael, but we'll leave that for now. Shani b'neviyim, d'chsev, v'yislak tu, el yiftach, anashim reikim. It's also interesting. Yiftach wasn't the worst guy in the world. Yiftach b'darak shmo b'daro. But still, the pshat is that the Anashim Reikim hung around him, who, at least as a shofet, was chaser. V'yuimo. This is interesting.
Was that before he was a shofet?
Yeah, but I think he was still a person who was, you know, he wasn't, the reason why he became a shofet was because of who he was.
Didn't his brother, like, didn't they kick him out?
Yeah, they kicked him out.
I mean, that's why I'm calling him, like, he was, like, discarded. He was...
Yeah, okay, that's true. I'm just saying that he was a good guy. That's the hara. You're right, that's the shot in the Gemara. Just... Now, the Mishulas B'Ksuvim is a bit of an issue, because it doesn't appear anywhere in Ksuvim. Where does it appear? It's a pasuk in Ben Sira. Well, that's Ksuvim. Ksuvim here presumably means the wisdom literature. Ben Sira is considered wisdom literature, like Sifrei Chachma. There's actually interesting discussion when the canonization took place, when exactly it is. In other words, was there a time that Ben Sira could have been considered? Or like Ben Sira, I think, is from about the 2nd century BCE, which was not too long. But there's a discussion, because there's a machlokas and a mishnayas about Tumas Yadayim, about various things, Kohelas, Shir Shirim, and the like. That's where Rekiva says Shir Shirim is Kodesh Kadashim. So it used to be, I think certain people thought maybe that was a machlokas about whether it's in or out of Tanakh, but that's not correct. It was a machlokas about the din, but the canonization took place. Anyway, not for now. But there's an interesting discussion relating to this Gemara about the history of the canonization and the fact that we would refer to a pasuk in Ben Sira as Ksuvim. Ben Sira, of course, is an interesting sefer because it is full of as many chachmadika things. Varaya, the Gemara does quote it. At the same time, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if you read Svam Chitzon, Emenu Chilkom Haba, so there's two pshatim over there. One is it's Sifrei Minos. Okay, that's obvious. Svam Chitzon might be referring to the Apocrypha, which is where Ben Sira is now. In other words, there are a bunch of books that were not included in Tanakh. So some of them, so including Ben Sira, so some of them are Sifrei Minos. And if you look at a number of the works in the Apocrypha, they are, they have all sorts, either they were originally this way or they were changed by the Christians to have Christological references. But if you remember back from Bible class, Mustama, you learned this, those of you who took Bible class, but some of them, like Ben Sira, so aren't. They're Ben Sira is like a book full of like wise sayings. That's why it's quoted on occasion in the Gemara. Here's one of the places, there are other places. So, but it says in the Gemara, according to one opinion in Sanhedrin, that if you read Ben Sira, if you read the Svam Chitzonim, which includes Ben Sira, Zain L'Chayel Kolom Abba, the question is, what's so bad about Ben Sira? What's so bad about, you know, the Sifrei Minos, I understand why it's Ein L'Chayel Kolom Haba. But why, you know, as we said, some of the Apocrypha is Minos, but other part, Ben Sira is not Minos. So the Rambam writes, and Rashi also writes basically, it's Betel Taira. So bad about Betel Taira. In other words, yeah, there's some wisdom here, but overall, there are better sources of wisdom, right? You'll gain a lot more from learning Mishle than learning Ben Sira. So it's Bittul Torah to learn Ben Sira. And Ad Kedei Kach, the Rambam writes that so someone who wastes time is Ein L'Chayel Kolom Haba. Rambam writes that the reason why Nesachim B'Kuvios, it's actually a stira between Perish Mishnayis and Mishnah Torah, but in Perish Mishnayis he writes that the reason Nesachim B'Kuvios are pasaleidos is because a person has to put all of their efforts into either making the world a better place or making yourself a better person, either through Tikkun Olam or learning Torah and Tikkun Atzmo. So someone who is a gambler, it's lav davka gambling. It's nothing to do with gambling for money. The same thing would be for video games, at least if you did it professionally. In other words, you're neither of those two. You're not making the world a better place. You're not making yourself a better person. And especially if that's your profession, so you're puzzle for Eidos. In other words, Bittul Torah, you know, we choose Misachi B'Kuvia because usually Bittul Torah is very hard to define. Like that this is Bittul Torah. because sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. You know, playing basketball could be Bittul Torah, could not be Bittul Torah. But something like Misachik Bekuvya is always Bittul Torah, because there's no toelis for the person and there's no toelis for society. So anyway, the Rambam says the same thing for Ben Sira. Okay, he mentions other books over there, like Sifrei Malachim, you know, chronologies and other things.
Aristotle
Rambam didn't think so. It's actually very interesting, since you mentioned I was going to get into this. If you look at the Rambam on that Mishnah in Sanhedrin, so he writes, when he talks about these waste of time books, so he writes like Ben Sira and Sifrei Malachim and the like. Now, if you look at the Rav, I think, take a look. I think it's the Rav. It could be one of the other Perushim on the page of the Mishnah. I think it's the Rav. So if you look, the Rav says, the Rav oftentimes will quote Rambam, but he adds one word to the Rambam. He doesn't say he's quoting the Rambam. He basically quotation of Rambam, and in that list, he adds Aristotle. So I don't think the Rambam would have agreed to that assessment about Aristotle. The Rambam says, not true. There's tremendous chachma that you can get from Aristotle. Now, the Rambam writes that this chachma, the chachma of Aristotle, was once part of our tradition, the Rambam writes, and as you see from the descriptions of Shlomo. And he writes that it was forgotten from the Jewish tradition because of the Tsarist of Galus. And therefore, you should go back to Aristotle and read it in Aristotle, because we don't have it in our tradition any longer. And like the Rambam says, you should be Makabel as Amis Mimisha Maro, but the most effective place to understand certain things is Aristotle, like we talked about the other day at lunch. In other words, even if, like the Gra says, you know, you could figure out science from Torah, but sometimes the more effective way to figure out science is from science books, not from Torah, just because we don't always know how to get it from Torah. So as such, the Rambam said it is valuable, at least for the person who's Rawi, to study Aristotle. Whereas, like certain types of history books, he writes poetry books, art books, chronology books, those are just a stam waste of time. There's no chachma there. Or in the case of Ben Sira, there's no chachma that you couldn't get from Mishlei. Ben Sira and Mishlei are the similar types of works. But Mishlei is a lot better. It was written in Beruach HaKodesh. Or maybe Ben Sira was also, but to a lesser degree. So therefore, why would you study Ben Sira and not Mishlei? Now apparently, this particular Nakuda that the Gemara is bringing out is expressed in Ben Sira, not in Mishlei, or expressed more clearly, which is why when the Gemara brings a raya from it, it looks from a raya from Ksuvim, from Ben Sira. But overall, Ben Sira is not a good place to read. There are some people who have a theory, I don't know if it's true or not, that the reason why that Gemara in Sanhedrin was so opposed to Ben Sira was because that was written at a time when right after canonization, so they had to like push out Ben Sira in very strong terms. And then once the canonization of Tanakh was accepted, so then it was okay to sort of refer to Ben Sira, because like nobody had a havamina of bringing it back, and that's how they explained this Gemara. So that's a theory that some people have. I don't know if it's correct or not. Anyway, there's a lot of raid on this line in the Gemara, if you know where to look. Kemo dechsev kol of lemino yishkon uvne adam ledom elo. Tinandri masnisen kol mchuber letame tame kol mchuber letar tahor vetanina bebraisa Eliezer Omer loy lechinam halach zarzir, which is a bird that we don't know if it's kosher. Eitzel Orev, which we know isn't kosher. El Mipnei Shumino. Good. I'm really Rav L'Rabba Bar Mari. Minam El Sadam Rienshi, Karyas Chavrcha V'lo Ancha, Rami Guda. Rabba Shadibe. So this is a very interesting one. I guess we'll just read on the pasuk that we'll talk about. Amalei, the pasuk, Ya'an tehartich velo tihart mitumaseich lo tetahari od. So first we'll look at Rashi, then we'll look at the Rush. Rashi says, Karius chavrcha lo chicho velo ancha. So you were mochiach your chaver. So dachi guda, kosel hapel alav, throw a wall on him. Kalomar, hanicho viipol birisho, leave him and he'll fall in his wickedness. Dachehu biadayim, push him off with your hands. It's hard to read in Rashi. Which one is it? Dachehu biadayim? Or hanicho, let him fall. So Rashi's a little unclear. Rashi's a little unclear what he means. There's a big problem that I think some of the Mefarshim have on this Rashi, which is, what happened to the principle of hocheach tochiach hasam isecha? And we know that the halacha is, and this is what the... some of the Mefarshim on Rashi ask, the halacha is, says in above Mitzi, in other words, what happens if you give teichacha and somebody doesn't listen, so you give him hochacha again, and again, and again, and again, okay? Adhaka, or whether that means until he hits you, close to hits you, whatever it is, but we don't have this idea that just because you like warn somebody once and they don't listen, so now throw the wall on them. That's not true. And that's why the Ion Yaakov suggests on this Gemara that the Rush disagrees. We'll see the Rush is proud in a minute. The Rush learns from here an interesting halacha with respect to our kos. Why does the Rush disagree? It's because of this kash on Rashi. Okay, so how are we going to answer for Rashi? So maybe we'll say this is the principle of Halitela Rasha Viyamos. What does that mean? There's a principle, also a Sugin Baba Kama, that you let the Rasha basically die in his wickedness. The context of that is the Sugya, for example, do you have to go ahead and mark the portions of your field that are usher, so if ganavim come and start to steal your fruits, they won't be over on the nisser, let's say, orla. So, maybe yes, can't be malshel peeper. No, halitela rasha v'yamas. If he's going to be a ganif, let him die. That's a machlokas. It's a machlokas in a mishnah and meiser sheni. Do you have to be worried about the ganavim going ahead and sneaking into your field and eating arla? So everybody agrees on shvius, you have to mark which fields are arla, or which trees are arla, because hey, the people are allowed to eat from your trees during shvius. What about during the rest of the year? So Rashbag says you have to, but the other opinion, the Chachamim, I think, say no, alitel rasha v'yamos. Right, what does that mean? If you look at the Rambam on that Mishnah, it says, "Ve'ein lanu lasos takana legazlan shelo yavo lidei michshol lefi she'avan gazlanos yoser gadol." Now he's already doing a bigger aveira. The Meiri says, "Ein misaknin lo'ovrei aveira ela im yigu mutav she'yishtarshu b'chet." More literal, right? Halitev rashi yamos, and as we want him to die. Now, that's l'chayra, what Rashi's saying over here. In other words, once you've warned him, and he didn't listen, it's okay. So let him die. Now, are you allowed to kill him? Right? Our Gemara says you could throw the wall at him. So I think Rashi's addressing that. Rashi writes, Kilomar, doesn't mean literally throw the wall at him. You're still not allowed to do that. But Hanicheu v'yipol berisho. In other words, Dacheu b'yadayim doesn't mean you push the wall on him, I think. It means you push him away. You're no longer chayev to give him taychacha anymore. And if he dies, so halitele rasha v'yamos. Now, the question is, on Rashi, like we asked, so when do you say that? And when don't you say that? When do we say, hochech tochiach afilu me'apa'amim? And when do you say he's a rasha? So let the rasha die in his wickedness. So that's an important shaila. For example, there's a shach in Yoredeus, and in Kuf Nun Aleph, Sifkan Vav, that writes, Yisrael Mumar, eino chayiv lafrisho. So the Dagmar Vav on that shach says, why? Yisrael afal pisha chata Yisrael, you should still be chayiv lafrisho. So the Achronim say in Rashi, that no, halitele rasha biyamos. In other words, when a certain person is over bemazed at a certain point in time, we say that he's a rasha, and we no longer have that achrayas to try to stop him. Hochech tochiach, amisecha, amisecha, needs to be amisecha. And that's the yesod of this Rashi. Now, a lot of times when you give somebody tochach and they don't listen to you, that doesn't mean they're a rasha yet. They're still begadir amisecha. So then you should. They're not being over bemazed. Why are they doing it? Because their Yetzirah got the better of them, right? The taivas or the like. So then, you should don't give up on them. Keep on trying to bring them back. Keep on giving them tochacha. Ad kedei haka filu me'apamim. Mashen kein. Sometimes, with this Rashi, what our Gemara is being machadish, according to Rashi, is that sometimes you'll give teichacha to a person and he'll reject it and you'll see, oh, this is mamish, clearly he's a rasha, merusha. And at that point, it's not our achrayas to save him anymore. And that's the nekudas achidish of our Gemara, according to Rashi. Right. So, he doesn't say aliteo, does he? Does? I don't remember. I might have said it. I don't remember the Rasha. It's referring to. There's a very important shaila. We're not going to get into it now, but we talked about it a little bit in Hilchos Nida, which is, a contemporary version of this question is: do we single women who want to use the mikvah? Should we let them? On the one hand, obviously, we don't want single women having tashmish hamita. It's very much usher. At the same time, if it's going to be done, it's obviously a much, much less egregious avera if it's done when she's mutaris and not asura. Mutaris meaning not anida. She's asura, but she's a pnuya. But when she's not anida. So there's a question. Should we allow them to go to the mikvah? So the Rishonim already dealt with this question in various versions, and the Rishonim used the term halitele rasha v'yamos in a slightly different context, but a similar idea. The Akedas Yitzchak was once asked this shaila. Listen to this unbelievable shaila. There were men in the town who were using a certain brothel. Okay? Guys will be guys. So some people said that we should go ahead and ensure that the women in this brothel are going to the mikvah. Like a sort of a hechshira. There should be rabbinic supervision, right? Because at least this way, the aveira that they do isn't going to be an isser karis. It's not going to be that, it's going to be bad, but it's not as bad. So Akedas Yitzchak responded, Ali Tela Rasha V'yamos. In other words, our job is not to give hechshirim on brothels. They're going to use it. They're going to use it. We'll tell them not to go. So, but at the same time, the mikvah shaila is a little different. We're not advertising. The question is, do we turn them away? That's why there's a lot to say on this topic. Ray Willig thinks that when this happens, you can't say no. they want to go to the mikveh. But you shouldn't say at the end tahira or muteres or the like. That's usually what the mikveh lady says when she comes up. In other words, if you know at least. But anyway, it's a very interesting shaila. Another place. There's a bruhaha about 10-15 years ago about this case of our Gemara. The poison sandwich case. You know, you heard of that?
The guy who kept stealing it.
This never actually happened among Jews, but there was a guy, a shaila, but there was this like nerdy guy who was bullied. Every day this bully came and like stole his lunch. So he decided to poison his lunch one day. So somebody asked Rav Zilberstein, is that mutter? So Rav Zilberstein said, yes, halitela rasha biyamos. And there were a lot of people who got very angry at him. Api tom, you're poisoning the guy. Maybe that's different there. You don't have to put up simanim on your field that this is arla. It doesn't mean you could entrap the guy. And what about putting in booby traps for gazlanim? So he wrote a whole sefer defending his psak. And there is a whole back and forth. Right, Vleich has a whole shtickle tire on the shayla. Anyway, it's interesting. Interesting, but not for now. But that's the sugya. You can't tell her not to go to the mikveh. You don't. No. I'll tell you a story. Last story on this. It's a story with the Rav Yashiv. So somebody goes to Rav Yashiv and asks him, a woman, you know, says, listen, I'm living with men anyway. Can I go to the mikveh? So Rav Yashiv says to her, I can't tell you you're allowed to go to the mikveh. So she leaves, and on her way out, the Rebbetzin says to her, but you're crazy if you don't. They're both right. In other words, you can't tell such a person to go to the mikveh, because you can't tell somebody to eat iser. Somebody asks you, how do I do less of an aveira, right? I'm going to work on Shabbos, so could you like give me some pointers? So you can't help them, you can't help somebody. But you also, you're crazy if you don't. If you're working on Shabbos, you know, do only Yisur and Derabana. Don't do any Yisur and Derais. They say Rav Shel Salanter used to go to the dock workers in Germany, and he taught them how to do their jobs with only Yisur and Derabana. Eventually, it became Shomer Shabbos. You have to. Anyway, we've got to finish the perek. There's a lot to say. But, so the Rush is pshat. The Rush says a different pshat in our Gemara. Again, maybe to answer the kash on Rashi. So he says, a tremendous yisayid lahalacha. He writes, Mikan pasak rav paltai zal. Ruvein sheyesh lai tviya al shimon, umesariv lavoy ledin. So I have a taina against Shimon, and Shimon refuses to come to Beis Din. Shereshai laviyol le'arkoyis shel nachrim. I can then sue him in the Geisha courts. Kedei lotzi es shelo mitachas yado, to get my money back. Meaning to say, in the situation where yad ovde koychazim tkifa, and that the bate dinim basically don't have the authority to enforce their decisions without the person agreeing to go to Beis Din. So the only way for me to get my money that Shimon owes me is to go to Arkos. So then it's mutter to go to Arkos. And this is Paskind in Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpatzim in Chav Vav Sif Beis. Ha'isiyad Ovdei Kechavim Tkiva, Val Din Alem. The Gayim are Tkiva, and the Baal Din is an Alem, meaning to say he's a strong, you know, tough guy. Beis Din doesn't have the power to force him to come to Beis Din. Ve'enu yachal atzil mimenu b'dayana Yisrael. So then, yitbe'enu l'dayana Yisrael t'chila. So the Shulchan Aruch says, first, you have to go to Beis Din. Always. In Lairat Alavo, if he doesn't want to come to Beis Din, then no tel reshus mi Beis Din. You have to ask reshus from Beis Din. This is known as a heter arkos. And then, umatzil b'dayana oivdei kechavim, Miad Baal Dino. Then you could go to the Gaish courts and get your money. And the Ramah even adds, Hagav Yesh Rishus L'Beis Din Leilech Lefnei Ovdei Kaychavim L'Hayit Shezach Chayv L'Zeh. In other words, Beis Din could even participate in this court case. Fine. But otherwise, obviously, this is Aser. Now, there's an interesting machlokas among the poskim. What is the basis of this heter? Because, after all, we know it's aser to go to Gaish courts. Fnam lo lefnei obdei kochavim, chil Hashem. You're giving kavod to their dinim. So if it's aser, usually we don't say you're allowed to do an iser to save your money, right? If somebody steals money from me, and the only way for me to get it back is by being Mechal Shabbos or whatever it is, doing some type of iser, I'm not allowed to do an iser to get my money back. So if there's an iser of arkois, then how is it mutter to violate that iser in order to get my money back? What's the basis for this iser, this heter? So there's basically two pshatim that are given. The first explanation is that this is given by the Chassam Sofer and the Gra. It's again on that same siman in Shulchan Aruch, Chaf Vav Beis, say that Beis Din, you're actually acting as the agent of Beis Din. In other words, what did the Shulchan Aruch say? Remember, no till Rishus mi Beis Din. You ask Rishus for Beis Din. The Sma writes that, generally speaking, Beis Din will summons the person three times. We'll see in a moment what this Sma actually says, but that's the minhag. Usually Beis Din will, if you're Tovei somebody in Beis Din, Beis Din will send a summons, a Hazmana Ladin. If it's ignored, they'll wait a certain amount of time, they'll send another summons. If it's ignored, they'll wait a certain amount of time, they'll send a third summons. And if after the three Hazmanos, the guy continues to refuse, so then generally speaking, Beis Din will issue a heter or a kaos, because he's a Messiah, and you could go sue him in the Gaish courts. So the pshat is that Beis Din basically makes you the shaliach of them to get the money. That's the way the Chassam Sofer understands it. Like it says in Shulchan Aruch, you first go to the Beis Din, you're notel reshus mi Beis Din. Notel reshus mi Beis Din doesn't just mean like you have permission, but basically you're acting as an agent of Beis Din. And therefore, it's not an issur of going to Arkos, because in a sense, Beis Din is acting. But you did go to Beis Din, and you're enforcing, you're using the Gayim courts to get your money in Beis Din, Lamashal, right? Nowadays, let's say you do go to Beis Din. So the first thing you do is you sign a Shtar Birurin, and you'll sign what's called an arbitration agreement. And the arbitration agreement, American law allows for arbitration and will enforce the decision of a binding arbitration agreement. So that way, if I'm suing Yoni and Beis Din, and actually the Beis Din rules against me, say I owe Yoni $1,000, so I refuse to pay, so Yoni could call the police, and the police will enforce that. That's Kelu the Shoftim v'Shaitrim. So the police are carrying out the decision of Beis Din, right? So to over here, Beis Din will rule, and they say, okay, to get the money you're owed, you're allowed to go to secular courts, and the secular courts will get you the money you're owed, and basically, you're not really going to secular courts to adjudicate the case as much as to enforce the decision of Beis Din. That's the way the Chassam Sofer understands it. The Chassan Nafkamina, the Chassam Sofer says. The Nafkamina is, and Rav Sternbach has a tshuva about this. He says it's very important that when Beit Din do this, what will happen is Beis Din will try the case in absentia. In other words, Beis Din will say, okay, right, Ruvain is suing Shimon for $1,000. Ruvain, why do you think he owes you $1,000? And they'll listen to the tainas of Ruvain, and Beis Din will issue a ruling. They'll say, if the tainas of Ruvain are correct, then Shimon owes him $1,000. Now, usually Beis Din will never issue a ruling if Shimon, not in the presence of Shimon, but since Shimon is a Messiah, if he's refusing to come. So Beis Din is issuing a ruling in absentia and saying, okay, now you have the right to go collect the money you're owed, and then you could sue him as a means to get the money that Beis Din paskind, he's chayv to you. So that's why Rav Sternbach writes that if Beis Din doesn't issue a ruling, Beis Din actually has to try the case. They try the case in absentia, because the other guy, Shimon, isn't showing up. So they have to say, well, if what Ruvain is saying is correct, then Shimon is chayv $100. That's the heter, as understood by the Chassam Sofer. The Kli Chemed is a different approach. He says, no, the pshat is that the basis for the Isser, this is the Klei Chamda on that Pasuk in Mishpatim, Asher Tassim Lufneihem, Lufneihem Olo Lufnei Avdei Kochavim, the pshat in the Isser of Arkois is because it shows chashivos to the secular courts and a rejection of Torah law. But when you try to get it through Torah law, you try to get it through Beis Din, and you failed, meaning to say because the guy wouldn't show up, so then, you haven't really done the Isser, because you're not showing chashivos, you're not rejecting Torah law by going to the Gaisha courts, and therefore the Isser doesn't apply. That's the machlokes. And maybe there's some nafkaminas between them, as we alluded to. So that's two ways to understand why this would be mutter. We mentioned before that very interesting question that the Netziv in the Shelos Yeshuvos Meshev Davar, Cheluk Beisim and Samach Vav, proves from our Gemara, or the Rush really, which is, what about the following? Okay, I try to sue the guy in Beis Din. Beis Din, he refuses to go. We're Misariv one, two, three times. The Heter Arkos. But it's still true that if I go ahead and I sue this guy in secular court, there's going to be a Chilul Hashem. Right? Maisa, Shem Shemayim will be Nischalul. So is it Mutter? So the Netziv says, the Pshat in this Rush is a tremendous Liddish. He writes, quotes a Rush, perish to be'emes asher leilech be'arko shal gayim v'goyrim chil Hashem she'en lo tara v'takana ki yadua aval achar she'hanitva mesarek leilech ledin taira v'shai ha'toveya leilech be'arko shal gayim v'ligroim chil Hashem v'oynesh chil Hashem chala ala nitva she'hevi lidei kach. Whose fault? It's his fault. That's exactly the drasha that this Gemara brings, right? What does our Gemara say? Loitatari oid. What's the pshat? In other words, a nitva who refused to go to Beis Din can never be forgiven. Loitatari oid for causing the chalashem. Because chalashem, we know, is an avera that has no takana. It's no tshuva. So whose fault is it? It's his fault. Right? And he writes, Mikomakom hainu guda rabba. She is oireru hatzibur v'yakufu b'chol ha'esher l'nitba. That's the Guda Rabba in our Gemara. Now, very interesting points. He says like this. Because they used to have, the halacha is, that if a guy refuses to go to court, so you're allowed to stop shul, right? Because you say, you can't daven one minyan with this guy. You can't daven in a minyan. You can't have an dominion with someone who refuses to go to Beis Din. So, what happens? So this guy's in shul. He's not leaving shul. So you stop davening. He's refusing to go to Beis Din. Obviously, it's true. You know, Beis Din agrees. We can't daven anymore. Everybody go home. Everybody go home. That's what you do. You go home. You go home. Right. Why? So again, but you're causing everybody to lose tefillah b'tzibur, you don't have to worry, because it's his fault. That's the chiddush of our Gemara. It's his fault. Now, you know, maybe it's midas chasidus still not to sue him in court if it's going to cause a chil Hashem. But the avera goes to him, not to you. That's what the Netziv dehers from this pasuk, leitatari yod, that the Gemara proves from us. And the Tshuva of the Netziv is an interesting point. He says one other interesting har, I'll just mention it, derech agav. There was a Rav. So the Rav didn't want, there was the guy who was refusing to go to Beis Din. And so the other guy kept on stopping the stopping shul. So the Rav was like a little, like didn't know what to do exactly. So the Netziv says, well, you know, why don't you get the guy to go to Beis Din? He says, if you don't have the kayach anyway. He's not going to, you're not, he's in Gavra Alam. So then, there's no point in stopping shul every week anyway, because you're not going to get anywhere. So, what's the point? And if he's not such a strong guy, so you as the rabbi have to do whatever you can to help the victim here who's not getting his money back. So the rabbi said to the netziv, but like, I don't want to cause machlokes, right? If I get involved, it's going to be a huge machlokes. So the netziv says to him, you don't have the right to do that. He says, if you want to not cause machlokes because somebody wronged you, and you don't want to make a big deal out of it, you want to be meichel, so there's no machlokes, that's your right. That's a beautiful thing, right? But you have no right to... Your duty as the rabbi is to make sure this guy, if you have the ability, if you don't have the ability, you don't have the ability, but you have the ability to help this guy, and you're not doing it to prevent machlokas, that's your job. You have no right to create peace at the expense of money that this guy is owed. So you're chayev to make, you know, to enforce what you're capable of forcing, if you're capable, if you're not, not. Okay. Let's do one more. Should we do one more? Right, I won't stop. Next one's a big one. It's a big one. It's tremendous yisod from the next Gemara. It's Parshas HaShavua, by the way. The next Gemara is Mamish, the yisod of our Parsha. All right. What? Yeah, no, I wanted to save it because...